Hear the word of God, which is taken from the first book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living Lord. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around, because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took a staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of the shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. This is the word of God.
It would be lovely if you would open your Bibles with us, friends, to the passage that was read to us by Pam just now in 1 Samuel and chapter 17. Just want to remind you for a moment of what we saw last Sunday. You may remember that Saul is in that very, very sad situation where the Spirit of God has now left Saul. And for the next decade or so, he becomes a tragic figure as he sinks into depression and eventually is going to take his life. But on the other hand, David is the opposite. David was chosen by God to be the next king over Israel. God didn't choose Eliab or Shammah or Abinadab or any one of the other sons of Jesse. Everybody thought God would have chosen them. It's often like that when we choose people. We always go for the outgoing people or the most gifted perhaps, or those that we think can move things. We've got to be very, very careful. But when God looks at who he chooses, doesn't look on the outside. God doesn't choose as man chooses. We look on the outside, but God looks at the heart. And he looked into David's life and he chose a man after his own heart. And so the scene is now set for Saul to slowly phase out the picture and then for David to become king. And the story we're going to have a look at today is very well known. You all know it backwards. I'm very, very conscious of that. But let's pray today as we go over familiar stories, friends, that you and I will walk home this morning very, very encouraged. And what I want you to notice as I take you through this passage, just let me put that at the back of your mind right now, is that the whole emphasis is not on how strong David's faith was. That's not the story. The main lesson you're going to learn today is how adequate God is in our weakness. All right? So David's a relatively young man. He's probably between 17 and 20 years of age. And the Philistines have attacked the nation of Israel one more time. But this time, they sent their champion, a man by the name of Goliath. And let's have a look at Goliath for a moment. The first thing you notice about Goliath there in verse 4 is his size. It says a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, he came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. Well, this is one that you want to take over from, what's his name, Bucky's Buerta or Victor Mansfield. This is the sort that we want. You'll just throw the ball to him and he'll catch it and throw it to the scrum half. 9 feet tall. He's their champion. He's a magnificent man. He's colossal. And yet, Matthew Henry tells us, he was a monstrous stature. So that was his size. I want you to picture that this morning. He's enormous. Secondly, look at his armor in verses 5 to 7. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point, just the point, weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. So not only was he magnificent, friends, but he seemed to be invulnerable. Everyone was absolutely terrified before Goliath. He seemed to be beyond defeat. 9 feet tall, helmet on the head, all the armor in the world, spear in his hand, a colossus of a challenge to Israel. The third thing you notice about Goliath is the challenge that he issued. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man. Have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your servants. If I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." So this challenge went on, as you all know, day after day. 40 days. Twice a day, there was Goliath, issuing this massive challenge. Choose a man, let's fight, whoever wins will bring victory to his nation. But lastly, I want you to notice the terror that he struck. Look at verse 24. It says, "When the Israelites saw the man, they ran from him in great fear." Verse 11, "Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified." Well, there's the picture, my dear friends. That's very simple and very clear for you. This monstrous man, this huge challenge, and not one would go against him. Saul couldn't go. Eliab wouldn't go. Abinadab, Jonathan, Shammah, all the other greats in the nation wouldn't go. But there was one man, and he said, "I'll go. I'll go and take on Goliath." The reason being, friends, that he had defied God, and David wanted to challenge it. So let me show you 5 key points. Is that all right? And then we're going to have communion together. The first thing I want you to notice about David was that he was sanctified by the Spirit. What made him different to Saul? What made him different to Jonathan, to Eliab, to Shammah, to Abinadab, to all the other leading men of the country? Here it was, you see, folks. He really was different. David had correctly diagnosed the real problem. The problem was not Goliath. The problem was not his size. The problem was not anything to do with the man. The problem David saw was bigger than that. He saw Goliath as cursing his God. That was the problem. That Goliath had defied God. So David says to him, see verse 26, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You see, friends, that was the issue. He's brought God down. Now just listen to this, if I may humbly ask it of you. Theological truth is the father of God honoring practicality. Theological truth is the father of God honoring practicality. So what happens now is because David was theologically sharp. He saw things as they should have been seen. God is being defied. God has been brought down. God has been scorned. The size of Goliath is small. His spear is small. His armor is small. It's God that he's gone against. So the fact that Goliath was a walking fortress was to David beside the point. David realized that all the people of the God of the covenant had no right to cower before the enemies of the Lord. And so David says, I'll go. I'll go. Sanctified. Set apart by the Spirit of God. It's so lovely to read that, isn't it? That's what's going to make you strong. That's what's going to make you able to cope with anything in life. Sanctified, set aside, strengthened, growing by the Spirit. Number two, from verse 17 to 26, you see how David was also sent by his father. Jesse had sent David. Take some food and take it to your brothers. And it's so lovely to read that passage, isn't it? Because David listens to his father. He arrives. And as he's talking to his brothers, along comes Goliath. See verse 23? As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, he stepped out from his lines, he shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. What's his first response? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? It's fantastic, isn't it? Doesn't notice the armor, doesn't notice the spear, doesn't notice the sword. Who's this uncircumcised person? Saying what he's saying. You have a little chuckle, don't you? His older brother Eliab was hanging angry. Look at verse 28. He burned with anger at David and said, why have you come down here? With whom did you leave the sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are. You come down only to watch the battle. You can imagine little brother David saying, see verse 28, what have I done? Can't I even speak? So he has an older brother and younger brother having a bit of honor. That sometimes happens in life. So Eliab is saying, go back home, David, please. You're an embarrassment to us. Go home. What did Saul say to him? Look at verse 32. David said, go and fight. You're only a little boy. You'll never do it. But you see, his cold reception, nor cooled by outward difficulties, because it looks away from both to the Lord. So he's not put off by Eliab. He's not put off by Saul. He looks to his God and he says, I'm going to do it. And so number three with David, he was not only sanctified by the Spirit, he was not only sent by his father, but he was strengthened by past experiences, verses 33 to 40. Saul says to him, well, you better put some armor on. And he tried, but he took it off. Because he says, no, I can't go with this armor on. Well, what's going to equip you, Saul? And David says, I tell you what it is. When I was looking after my dad's sheep out in the fields, it was amazing. A lion would sometimes come. See verse 33 to 40. Sometimes a bear would come. And they would take the lamb and then go off with the lamb. But King Saul, I would go after them. I would attack the lion. I would attack the bears. And I would rescue the sheep. You know, Saul, I don't need the armor. And I don't need a spear. And I don't need a helmet. Because God has been my adequacy all my life. This uncircumcised Philistine will fall. God has always been with me. So what we see there, dear friends, is how faith is sustained in the present as it remembers God's wonderful provision in the past. The rich history of God's past goodness nurtures faith in its current dilemma. That's why it's so good for you and for me sometimes to look back and to see how wonderful God has been, and He'll be with you in the future. Sanctified by the Spirit, sent by the Father, strengthened by the past, and then number four, sustained by the Word of God. David goes to Goliath. Can I give you a little statistic? It may seem trivial on the surface, but it's quite an important little thought, this. In this whole passage in the Hebrew Bible, there are 63 words, which are written to tell us about the words of David, but only 36 words to tell us about the battle. Now you say, Warwick, what on earth is that all about? Let me tell you. The issue is not the battle. We focus on the battle. That's not the big issue. The big issue is, what is David saying? So he goes to Goliath, and Goliath responds and says to him, am I a dog? You come to me with sticks. I'm going to give your flesh to the birds. And David says, you come against me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty. That's the key. I don't need a javelin. I don't need a spear. I'm coming to you, Goliath, in the name of God. He was sustained by the Word. And that's why in our fellowship here at Christchurch, we place such enormous emphasis on the Bible. Because that's what sustains us. That's what fires us up. That's what urges us on. David was sustained by the Word. And then the last one, number five, is he was successful. He gets a little sling. I've actually got one in my desk, if ever you want to see it. It's an insignificant little thing. He puts a stone in and he lets it fly. Do you know what, folks? That traveled at about 300 kilometers an hour. If they threw it correctly, and it flew. And it hit Goliath right on the forehead. It was bullseye. And of course Goliath fell to the ground. Stone dead. And David won the victory. And David was celebrated across the nation as the future king. Now, When we come to communion, what's the main thing I want you to rejoice in today? Please, if I may share it with you, I speak from the heart. This passage was such an encouragement to me. The first thing I want you to remember is this. That what matters in life, you may be even sitting here today, you may have a Goliath, some massive problem or difficulty or whatever it is. So what matters in life is not whether you've got the best weapons, but whether you've got the real God. See the difference? You may feel inadequate. You may feel small. You may feel your faith is useless. But my friends, that's how we want to be. Because it's in our weakness that God's adequacy is glorified. That's the wonderful thing. So your inadequacy, like David's, may be precisely your qualification for serving God. Because His strength shines brightly against the background of your weakness. It's when we're weak, that's when we're strong. Because then we rely on our precious God, whose adequacy is always there. So in this lesson, the focus is not on David's courage, but on God's adequacy. Isn't that wonderful for you? We're living in some difficult times. Our inadequacy gives marvelous opportunity for God's adequacy. Our weakness is the background for God to do so many great things. But you know the other great lesson is this. That David was just a small picture of the greater David, who was going to come into this world in weakness. Just like this David. He was going to be born in a stable. He was going to be killed on a cross. But that greater David was going to take on the Goliath of sin and Satan and death and gain the victory, so that through Jesus, you and I may face tomorrow having been forgiven and with great strength. Are you down today? Perhaps discouraged. Perhaps feeling inadequate. Then I want you this morning, as we now come to communion, to lift up your heart to a gracious Father whose adequacy shines in your weakness and whose weakness brings us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be greatly encouraged with this great God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this very, very well-known and familiar story. And I just pray that you would lift up all our hearts to you in these days, remembering that you're a great God and a wonderful God that we can know and love and trust. And we pray that you'll be with us now as we share in Holy Communion together. Amen.